B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Oh, yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're the fifth caller on our contest line at 215-263-0975, you will score $100 quick cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We'll keep you on hold. And then in a little bit, we will ask you a football trivia question, Eagles-oriented football question. And if you get that right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. We told you what we had each day. It's an actual baby-sized football pool that you can actually fill as a pool. But we fill it with prizes, like a snowblower from Poulin, from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Like $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Like a full year's supply of snacks from Hearst Snack Foods. A mini hockey helmet signed by Peter Laviolette. A talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2. And various other little things that we add each day. The Fanatic Football Pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a football Sunday, and it's a must-win situation. We've just described this situation before as a must-win. I don't want to give you the impression I'm going overboard here, because it is a must-win. And here's why it's a must-win. If they go 0-2, you look at their schedule over the next several games, they could only go 1-5. Now, we already know if they're 0-2, they only have a 23% chance, according to the Pro Football Index, of actually making the playoffs. At 1-5, their goose is cooked, and we're not even paying attention to the football season. So let's bring in the man we bring in every Friday on Football Friday. He is brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. He is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, and I actually like the Eagles. Now, I don't know how you feel about this game, but I think the confluence of factors coming in here, I think the Eagles are going to win this one. How are you feeling?
Well, in order for the Eagles to win, they have to answer a lot of questions, fix a lot of different things in a short period of time. I mean, within a week's time. I mean, we saw some major issues, major breakdowns. And especially offensively, in that football game, we talk about the offensive line and the errors there, the communication between the offensive line and the running backs, the timing of the quarterback and his thought process. And I still think the receivers are a bit of an issue. We still at this point don't know what we have in our receivers. I think Jalen Reagor with the long ball showed that he has some speed. But where was he at for the rest of the game? And so, unless they answer those questions, Mike, I would be scared to say that they have a great chance in this football.
All right, now let's we'll go. This is the reason why I think they have a chance. They're getting guys back, and you know, as a player, when you get your full complement of players, you go on the field with the guys that you had lacked the week before. You feel a little more confident about the team in general, do you not?
Yes. Yeah, no, you do. I mean, here's a question. And I had the very similar injury to Lane Johnson, and I had surgery, and it took me a little bit longer to get back. How healthy are you getting these guys back? How healthy and how well can Lane Johnson play? That's going to be a big question. But I will say this. Getting him back, and I know Lane is one of the toughest dudes that's in football currently and one of the best right tackles in the game. So just getting him back is a big boost to that offensive line. It will help Herbeck just an awful lot. And having Miles Sanders back changes the thought process of the play caller. And because of that, I think it'll change the process of them running the football. They'll be more successful running the football. And I think the offense will look a little bit differently just having Miles Sanders back.
All right, when you looked at last week and you saw the hell that Carson Wentz was under, and a lot of the sacks were by his own note, and yeah, he doesn't get rid of the ball quickly enough. He holds on to it a little too long. But when you looked at the trouble he got himself into, the average guy looks at it like, well, your offensive line got the crap beat out of you, and you didn't do anything to alter that. that with your game plan. Now, Doug got a little snippy in defending his offensive line, and he said really it was that they couldn't pick other guys, couldn't pick up the blitz, and it wasn't necessarily the offensive line. What do you think?
Well, there were some issues with the offensive line and penetration, and particularly that right side of the offensive line. They were giving up some penetration. So as Carson is ready to step up into some of his throws, it's much harder. It makes it much harder for him to be able to step up in his throws to complete the ball down the field. So now he's pulling the ball down, which, of course, once you get past 2.5 seconds, these guys are coming off the other edge. You know, they had Chase Young coming off of Jason Peters' edge just a little bit, and some of the guys with that. And so if the offensive line was a little bit more stout, I think Carson would have had more time in those issues. But I think Doug is right. They had some issues with communication between the offensive line and the running backs, meaning Jason Kelce would take one guy. We had the middle linebackers crossing. He would take one guy, and Boston Scott didn't see the other guy coming. And there was other times where Jason Kelce, the offensive lineman, would start on one guy, then he would switch to another, which is a big no-no from the offensive line. If you take one guy, stay with him, because as a running back, I can pick up the other guy, who, no matter who he is, I can go find the other guy. But don't switch on me, because once you switch, I think you're taking one guy and the other guy comes through free. And so there was multiple occasions of that. There was multiple occasions of Carson just not being decisive in some of his thought process, meaning you should be able to tell. From the running back position, I can see it, and I know Carson been in the league long enough to be able to understand where these blitzes are coming from. The great thing about Drew Brees, because he's small in stature, he understands defenses very well. So as he understands defenses, he knows, okay, they're coming from the right side. I need to get the ball out to the left side quicker, or I need to make a play on this side a little bit faster. It just appears at too many times Carson doesn't understand where the blitz is coming from and doesn't understand or have that internal clock that all the good quarterbacks have that said, I got 3 seconds. I got to get the ball out. I got 2.5 seconds. I got to get the ball out. He just doesn't do that. And I think the good quarterbacks have that internal clock in just too many times, not just this season. It's happened over the last 4 years as well, that Carson is just not understanding it very well. And it causes him to make mistakes, bad throws, and or holding on to the ball a little bit too long.
All right, this is really interesting, because I want to get in your head about what a back has to do in these kind of situations. But first, let's get to our man. Caller number 5 has checked in. He is Gary from Bensalem. Gary, are you with us?
Hey, Mike. And hello. Brian, of course.
Hello, Gary. How you doing? Congratulations. You're caller number 5. You get a quick $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Are you ready now for your trivia question that will qualify you for the grand prize?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's today's question. Who is the Eagles' all-time leading receiver?
Oh, wow. Harold Carmichael?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Harold Carmichael is correct. 589 receptions for 8,987 yards and 79 TDs. Gary, you qualify for the big grand prize to win the Fanatic football pool.
Oh, this is awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Congratulations to you. Let me put you on hold here, and we'll get all your details. So Gary becomes another qualifier, and he answers the question correctly. Did you have that answer, Brian?
I did have that answer. And, you know, Harold was there for a long time while I was there. He was always just around. He was actually a part of the committee to try to help the players out as they get around. And, you know, Harold caught all those balls in an era where they weren't throwing in the same way that they're throwing now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he caught a bunch of balls for the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, his size and stature, his ability to get downfield was amazing. So, of course, I did have that answer.
All righty. Brian had the answer. All right, we got another qualifier. All right, now let's get back to the blitz thing, because you did that very well. One of the things you always did well was to pick up a blitz and make a nice block to help your boy 5. Now, Boston Scott is kind of a novice. There were times that he looked very confused on what he needed to do there. As a running back, how do you read a situation like that when somebody's coming?
Well, first of all, Boston Scott just had bad eyes. I mean, he was looking at the wrong guys. And so there was a basic understanding of the blitzes and where they were coming from that he just didn't get. So his eyes were bad. He was looking at the wrong people there. So as you come up to the line of scrimmage, and let's just assume it's four down linemen, three linebackers, and you have the two safeties and the cornerbacks behind them. At some point, you're looking at the safeties because the safeties are going to tell you everything that you need to know. If the safeties are back, you know, back in their normal position, 10, 12 yards back, usually the only people that can blitz at that point are the linebackers. So those three linebackers are literally right there in your face. And in order for them to be able to get to the line of scrimmage to the quarterback from 5 yards deep, you have so much time to pick them up. So you should be able to see all those guys coming. Now, if you start to see the safeties moving, so just imagine the two safeties on the hashes in the middle of the field. If you start to see one moving one way or the other, you have to believe something's going on. So at this point, you have to start understanding your cues, the people that you have to read. And I don't think Boston Scott did a very good job. And again, this is a second-year player. He played a lot at the end of the year last year. But last year, at the end of the season, he wasn't asked to block as much, because he was more of a specialty guy playing in a certain role. This season, because Miles Sanders was injured, he was asked to block a lot in that first game, and he just wasn't prepared for it. He's a willing blocker. He just didn't understand his tech as far as who he's supposed to be blocking very well. And I'm 100% sure Deuce Staley went out of his way this week to make sure that all the running backs understood their responsibility, because that really falls upon the running back coach to make sure that all those guys are clear on that.
All right, so if you're a running back, you see a little safety activity, then in your head you're thinking, all right, that safety may come.
Not just the safety, but somebody's coming.
Somebody's coming. If the safety's moving, somebody's coming.
Right.
Okay. Suppose they shoot a safety linebacker blitz at you. Then what's the responsibility of the running back? And is that buttoned down as far as communication when an offensive lineman takes this guy and running back takes this guy?
Yeah, all these things are, a big part of game planning, a big part of your week at practice is understanding what blitzes are you going to get on first down, what blitzes are you going to get on second down, what blitzes are you going to get on third down. Normally, teams, just like offensive plays, they say, okay, on third down, I want to get the ball to the running back, or third down, I want to find a way to get the ball to Jalen Reagor. Defenses kind of have the same type of thing. They have, okay, third down, I want to make sure that I have the ability to get my safety in the backfield, so I got to move some people around to do that. So as an offensive player, you have to study the film enough to get a good game plan, a good gauge of what they do. And so now it's second down, okay, second and long, I know they like to blitz. And this is all film study. This is all knowing your opponent. And Boston has to do a much better job of that. But it comes down to the offensive line and the running back communicating and saying, okay, that first guy is the offensive line's guy. That second guy is the running back's guy, or vice versa, depending on the way that you do it. But usually it's a pretty easy pickup. And the Eagles made it very, very hard this past week because they didn't do a very good job of it at all.
All right, so when we look at this game, obviously the thing that sticks out is they had trouble last week with Washington's front. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald's the best in the league. Now, yes. What's the game plan to handle him?
Double team. You got to double team him. You can't leave Herbig by himself, because last week we saw him just get pushed back in the pocket. Now, he stayed in front of his guy for the most part. It was a couple times he got beat. But, he was getting pushed way back in the pocket. And I think any quarterback would say the biggest problem from a quarterback position is pressure in your face. Because pressure in your face, you can't step up, right? And you're always going to get pressure off the edges. No matter what, you're going to get some pressure off the edges because those defensive ends are so fast. They're running the hump around the back of the quarterback. And usually you can step up and throw the football. But if you're getting pressure in your face from Kelsey's man and Herbig's man, then at that point, there's nowhere to step up to. And we saw that in the last game where Carson looks like he's ready to throw the ball and he's getting hit in his stomach because the center and guards people, men, are getting past those guys and getting too much pressure up front.
All right, so the middle of the line is what has to double him, right?
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
Kelsey's got to be involved with either guard in a double team situation.
No doubt about it. I think what you do against these dynamic inside players, because Aaron Donald could just ruin everything for you offensively, meaning if you get pushed in the run game, your running back is getting contacted 2-3 yards in the backfield. If you get pushed in the back in the passing game, it's just what I just explained. Your quarterback can't step up. So when you're playing with a guy like Aaron Donald, the one thing you're saying is, I can't allow this guy to beat us. We can't allow him to beat us. Now, if we get beat by Leonard Floyd off the edge and we get beat by somebody else on the outside, Jalen Ramsey or something like that, then we're okay with that. But we can't allow Aaron Donald to take over this game and dominate us. So at that point, I'm saying, okay, Kelce, every chance you get, I'm going to Aaron Donald's side. I'm double teaming him. I'm going to make sure that I have two bodies on him at all times so that he doesn't control the pace and structure of this football game.
That can't be a fun thing that you're anticipating here if you're a guard and a center that you have to wrestle with this bear all game, right?
Well, no, because Aaron Donald, he has that combination that everybody wants. He doesn't have the size that everybody wants, but he has the speed, the quickness, and the power to be able to move people around just a bit. And there was times last week where Kelce got moved around a little bit, kind of thrown around just a bit. And obviously Herbert got thrown around. What I would want from my offensive line this game is even when they were blocking last week, they weren't doing a good job of holding their blocks for a long time. And I know Carson needs to get rid of the football, and I don't take any blame away from him because his job is to understand what the defenses are presenting and get the ball out. That's his job. He didn't do a very good job of that last week. But I would still ask my offensive line just to give me a little bit more time. I'm still trying to get used to my receivers. I'm still trying to make sure that I have the proper understanding of their depth and them getting open as a quarterback. Just give me another second. If you can give me that, then I can get the ball out, is what Carson should be saying to that offensive line.
All right, take a deep breath, because on the other side, the first edition of our Fearless NFL Picks of the Week. You got three in your pocket?
I did so good last year. I mean, these are like guaranteed. These are give me. These are layups for me right now at this point.
All right.
Layups.
Talking a good game. I like it out of the chute. Now we'll see what you have. We'll see what I have. We'll see if we go head to head. That's coming up in 5 minutes. Here's how you get in to talk to Brian Westbrook, 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Artie, it's 4:30. Brian, 4:30 Friday from this moment on. It is? Yes. It is the Fearless NFL Selections, and we're going to chart this year. I lost track of it last year. You claim you were killing me, but I don't, you know, I don't have anything.
I have a spreadsheet.
We got a spreadsheet. We're following it.
I already know the picks. I put both of you guys' picks in a spreadsheet, and we're going to do W's and L's and keep track for the remainder of the last 16 weeks of the season.
Because all we had was his word, Tyrone. You know, his word sometimes is just a little shaky.
A little bit.
Unbelievable. So let me get this straight. Because I was winning all the games last week, you can't remember all of a sudden who was winning and who was losing. Do you remember going on that losing streak last year?
I remember the losing streak, but I don't remember you being that wonderful. You had a couple weeks of a streak, but you know you might think you're Jimmy the Greek all of a sudden there.
This is called Michael Cincinelli hate. That's
yeah. All right. Let's start with you. I defer to the pro. So go ahead, Mr. Westbrook. What are your selections this week?
Well, perfect. This week we're going to start in Seattle. They have the New England Patriots and Cam Newton coming into town, and Seattle's favored by 4. I like New England, what they were able to do. I just don't think Cam is going to be able to hold up running the football against this Seattle football team. I think Seattle wins this game big. They beat up on the New England Patriots more than 4 points right there. So that's a good way to start.
Yeah, I think I like that start by you.
I think that's a great start myself. The next game I have the Minnesota Vikings visiting the Indianapolis Colts. And for some reason, and I don't know why, Vegas has a Colts favored by 3.
Uh-huh. See, you're, again, go ahead, finish your play. But again, this is the Missinelli lesson that you didn't learn. Go ahead.
This is a hard lesson to learn because this doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm going with the Vikings winning this thing outright.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
This just makes no sense to me. last, the third and last game right here, we have the San Francisco 49ers visiting the New York Jets, and the Jets just stink. They're just doing what the Jets always have done. They stink. The line started at 4 in favor of the 49ers, then moved up to 7. I think the 49ers bounced back from losing that first game against the Cardinals and went big against the Jets up there in New Jersey.
Yeah, see, I like that too. And because the line did go up, that's telling you something. So let me start with what I think is an underrated cashola. All right. The Arizona Cardinals are a 6.5-point favorite over the team that beat the Eagles last week. So this team pat themselves on the back because they know they stole one and they stink. Now they have to go all the way to the other coast and play Arizona that's going to put some points on the border. And 6.5 tells me solid favorite. Arizona wins the game easy over the Washington football team.
I like that pick, actually.
All right. Now, as again, you say you claim to understand the Lions telling you something, the Missinelli lessons that I've been passing down on you for the last 4 or so years. You're right. The Colts have no reason to be favored in this game. They lost to Jacksonville. Now, the Vikings gave it up a little bit, too. But the Vikings are a much better team on paper than the Colts. And yet, the Colts are a favorite. Which tells me all I need to know. I'm taking Indianapolis to cover the 3 as a favorite.
I don't know what's going on in Vegas.
Well, that's what I mean. That line is screaming at you.
It's selling you something. I can't believe it. I just can't believe that the line is saying that.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, and sometimes it makes all the sense in the world when it doesn't make any sense. All right, now, for my third, the coup de grace, I'm backing the birds on Sunday. Okay. I will take the Eagles line. 3.5 Eagles favorite. Went down to Rams 1.5 favorite. Back up to even, and now the Eagles are a point favorite. They got some people back. They can't be as bad as they were last week. We thought this was a win prior to the season based on the requisite teams on paper. I'm backing the Eagles to win the game this weekend. And win it, you know, not real comfortably, but win it like they'll be in charge.
Really?
Yes. Okay. All right, there
Rams
you go.
Struggle crossing the country. I got you.
Yeah, so I'll take Arizona 6 over Washington. The Colts minus 3 at home against Minnesota. The Eagles minus 1 at home against the Rams. Brian is going with Seattle minus 4. He is going with Minnesota getting 3. And he's taking the 49ers minus 7. And we'll be all charting it up here for a season worth of
chart this year.
Hey, we should put a little stakes on this. We should have like a visit to the farm for me. And if I lose, I invite you to my party.
Yeah, you can invite me to the party and allow me to go into your humidor that you have. Well, next to your kitchen
my walk-in humidor, and you can figure out your cigar choice.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phones with T-Love in Collingdale. What's up, T-Love?
Yo, Mike, B. West, what's going on, brothers?
What's going on, T-Love?
Hey, Mike, I gave you the Cubans before.
Yes, you did. She did, T Love.
Yes,
no, you know, no, I got another connect.
You got another connect.
Oh yeah, I got another connect.
Listen, man. I was listening to your story and I was laughing, man, because I got a similar one like that years ago with my best friend. Come back from Maryland and wanted me to have first of all, have you ever seen Growing Belushi?
No.
It's a wild show. It's Jim Belushi, and he has a weed. He grows weed. He's got a big farm. He grows weed.
Oh, he does a TV show on his weed farm?
Yeah. Yeah, they do the TV show, and he's trying to get the rights to the Blues Brothers. He does the Blues Brothers show with Dan Aykroyd now.
Yeah, I know.
He took his
yeah, it's not as good.
Yeah, but the thing about it was he had this little pack of cigarettes, but the carton looked like a little cigarette joint, and he wanted to get Dan Aykroyd, Blessing, and John's wife to sign off so that he can use the brand, the Blues Brothers brand. In order to brand his,
so this is a state. This is a state-sanctioned marijuana farm.
Yeah,
Tyrone say, tell me, it's in Oregon. He did some research. So he's yeah. See, Tyrone, you want to go to Oregon? Well, you know, there you go. It's an industry.
I wouldn't be against
that. It's a state-sanctioned pot farm. And Belushi does it, and he has a TV show on it.
Hey, but this is the thing, though. In order to get the brand, Aykroyd wouldn't give it to him unless he went back and got this special three seeds, this three brands of weed. And it's like this special weed that he had to go all the way back to Pablo
Escobar.
Escobar, yeah.
He went to Colombia to get the seed?
Yeah, he went all the way to Colombia to get these seeds.
I said a Mexican seed better than a Colombian seed. They even grow the coca leaves in Colombia.
Yeah, but it's really crazy. But anyway, he's got, it just reminded me of my buddy and him giving me, we were looking for, back then you could get Acapulco Gold.
Yeah, that's what Cheech and Chong used to sing about it. Acapulco Gold is badass weed. That's a Cheech and Chong routine. Yeah.
Sensational Acapulco Gold back in the day.
Yeah. All right, T Love, what's your comment on the NBA playoffs since we're talking of pot? It's getting me high. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Hey, well, listen, those two games, the Celtics and the Miami Heat, man, that just goes to show you, man, what's going on. We have no front office. The top three teams, I can't talk about hockey, but our front office, the Phillies, the Eagles, the Sixers, front office sucks, man.
Yeah, well, we're struggling right now. And it doesn't help that we're watching Jimmy Butler do this. It doesn't. Brian, I got to have you straighten out Tyrone here.
I'm wrong real fast.
Where's Belushi?
538 came out with their the new odds for the conference finals.
Uh-huh.
And the NBA finals.
Yeah.
So to make the finals, the Heat, 71%. Obviously, they're up 2-0. Celtics, 29%. They have the Lakers-Nuggets series only 56-44 before it starts. Lakers' favorite. Mm-hmm. To win the whole thing, last place the Nuggets. Second to last place, the Lakers. Mm. Second place, the Celtics. And the favorite, 46% chance to win the whole thing, the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat, y'all. Really? Jimmy Butler. Tyrone is all messed up that Jimmy Butler is getting his due now and doing the magic things that he's doing in the playoffs, Brian.
Why?
I mean, he doesn't like Jimmy Butler.
Well, he did those same things for the Sixers. I mean, he was a closer. He was a fourth quarter guy. He was a guy that they gave the ball to because in the fourth quarter, because they know Tyrone's guy, Ben, can't score and just made him go sit in the corner and pout in the corner. He's doing the same exact things as he did here in Philadelphia. But for some reason, Ty is wishy-washy like that, Mike. I mean, he gets
these little personal grudges. And like, what is your personal grudge with Jimmy now?
Jimmy Butler. Similar to some other people, he's a guy who insists upon himself. He's got to tell you about how hard he's working and all that stuff. Brian, you know me and him have very little respect for one another. But, but I will say, when he was a player, Brian, I know Brian worked hard. Uh-huh. Sure, to come out of Villanova and have the career that he had, uh-huh. I know he worked his butt off.
Yep.
Brian didn't need to go around telling everybody how hard he was working. Jimmy does, and I don't like people like that. People that share it all the time get on my nerves.
But here's the thing. If he does it, then how could it bother you that he tells you he's going to do it and he tells you he does it?
No,
the result is all that counts. Now, if he wasn't doing the result, then you would have reason to hate him.
He's been doing that from the beginning. This is his first time out of the second round in his whole life. And he's talking about, I work hard. About all these guys work hard. The majority work hard. I'm tired of him talking about it. Talk about the game. He doesn't even really talk about the game. He talks about how great his preparation is for the game.
But Ty, you would have no problem if Ben Simmons, in those videos, because those videos, he doesn't talk very much in those videos that he showed of him shooting threes. But those videos were only there to say, I'm working hard on my game.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't see the results in his game.
They were show-off videos.
That's the same exact thing, but we didn't see the results. At this point, Jimmy Butler's using his words to say, I'm working hard, and he's showing us in the finals what hard work does. To me, this is the best example of any athlete that we could personally find of a guy that's saying, you know what, the only reason I'm doing good right now in the most important games of our season is because I worked hard in the offseason.
And that's
what we want from our guys.
And in the season and all this. So this is what I'm saying. I will make a note now. I want to say it out loud so I'm held accountable.
Yes.
I am not getting sucked into any more Ben Simmons videos. I'm out on the Ben Simmons video. I'm out. Until
Mike,
it's
you
a
said
game.
That.
I'm out on oh, any oh,
it's about
Simmons
damn time
video.
That you're out on these videos, because that's all I had to hear from you. Off-season so video, I'm getting his Tyrone sending me video. All the league's in trouble.
I can't anymore. So I'm out on his. Now, if Embiid is doing aerobic video where he's working on cardio, I will buy those, because that's what I need him to do, be in better cardio shape. But any Ben video of any kind, I will dismiss and wait for a game.
We got to take a break, but I was watching the game two, and the ball, he's chasing down a loose ball coming down in the Miami end. You saw the play. He's chasing it down. He kind of dives out of bounds to swish the ball back into play to a teammate. And and doesn't like rest on his laurels there. Knows he's got to get back into play. Sprints from beyond the sideline back into the court and gets the lob pass for the dunk.
You know, it's so funny you say that. My guy, Club Tyrone member Justin Anderson, tweeted about that. Jimmy Butler is an all-star and does all the little things guys like myself have to do to stick willingly. So he admits that he's a role player. That's incredible. And then he throws in Embiid for some reason. At Joel Embiid, you were right, bro. Justin Anderson. And you know, that's my guy, Justin Anderson, talking about how Butler does all the stuff that he does, plus have skills.
Yeah, Justin, believe me, let me explain something to you. You don't do nearly as much as you think you did, bro. All right? 610-632-0975. Coming down the home stretch with Brian Westbrook after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:46. Mike Mastella Show. Get some Eagles news, Brian. They're short running back, although they're bringing back Sanders this weekend. But there are reports that the Eagles are considering bringing back, bringing in Devontae Freeman.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Him. Yeah, I think Devontae Freeman, he's an established running back, veteran, has been there, done that. I think he'll be valuable. You know, I think Boston Scott showed a lot to us last year, but it appears at this point in his career, he's a situational back. I think that he can develop into a guy that could probably play a little bit more. But at this point, I mean, you want somebody that can go in that can help you right away. And I think Devontae Freeman is a guy that can certainly help you. And you could find a different niche for Boston Scott so that he can play more of the role, the Sproles type of role, which I think he's probably more comfortable with at this point.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wouldn't have
I like it, too. It gives you a little more depth than the unknowns.
Yeah, it's official. Yeah. The visit itself is official due to the league transaction wire. It's official that they had it, but according to Mike Garofolo, they may not be signing him now. Maybe they're giving other guys another shot, but it looks like they may. He's probably at the top of the list on the double back.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I just had to believe that the Eagles last week understood they were playing Washington. And some of these guys, maybe Sanders could have played, maybe Lane could have pushed in and played, but they also understood what the Washington football team represented, and not a very good football team. And there's no way in their mind that they thought that Dwayne Haskins and that team could have beat them, and unfortunately they did. And now that's why you're getting some of these guys back. And you have to start asking the question, can we fill some of these backup positions a little bit more? Because I don't see a lot of depth on this football team as a whole, to be honest with you.
All right, I want to do this little quick game with you here because we have this time. Because somebody asked me this on email, and he wanted me to go down the list of, because I'm big on colleges, like the best player that came out of a college that had NFL success, if you go by team by team. So, like, I just wanted to start with the Big Ten because the Big Ten is going to resume football. So let's start with the two big hitters and the Big Ten. So let's start with Ohio State. Now, I'm pretty sure that Zeke will eventually be the guy who's the best player out of Ohio State. But who would it be now? You don't have Zeke. Who would it be?
Chris Carter's a Hall of Famer. Eddie George, maybe. I mean, you know.
Eddie George is pretty good.
The thing about those guys. I mean, Chris Carter was a Hall of Famer. I mean,
yeah, Chris Carter.
Probably Chris Carter. They've had some guys who were really good in college. They didn't have a great NFL career.
Yeah.
They've had a ton of
brothers at this point. I mean, they're
they look great, obviously.
Yeah.
I think going ahead, I think if you go 20 years ahead, it could be Chase Young for all we know.
It could be. Like right now, what would be the one guy that you would say before Zeke gets it?
I'll go Chris Carter.
Chris Carter.
Like Brian said.
Okay. All right, let's move on to Michigan. Now, the two obvious ones, they're close, though. Yeah. I guess you got to go with the best quarterback of all time, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, but Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
You know, what's funny is Charles Woodson is one of the best football players, period, of all time as well. It's Brady, but
it's close.
It's close because Woodson was that great.
That's a 1A type of situation. Yeah. All right, now if you go to Penn State, now we're just talking about some great players here. Penn State's best, it's going to be Saquon. Right?
Although Saquon is, I don't know. It's not a straight line anymore. Well, Saquon has struggled.
He's got an edge on it if he continues. But Kerry Collins is the best?
Threw for what? 50?
Penn State?
I mean, he threw for 40,000
yards. Yeah, he's got to be the best guy that Penn State produced in NFL success.
Thought of was LeVar, but I mean, he didn't play
long. He didn't play long enough.
He was dominant, though.
He was.
Also in Ohio State, Orlando Pace was a great, great tackle.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
See, it's unfair with Ohio State.
It is. They just turn them out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel so inadequate now. The best that Penn State offers is Kerry Collins.
It's linebacker you. There's no Hall of Fame linebacker that we're not thinking of from Penn State. I'm serious. That we're not thinking of. Linebacker you. Is there
the best linebacker they ever had? Was it Sean Lee? Is he going to be in a Hall of Fame?
No. I don't think he'll sniff it.
I think it's got to be Collins. All right. We'll just do one other school, and this is tough. Miami.
Ray Lewis, Ed Reed.
You go Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. But how about Frank Gore?
Warren Sapp.
How about Warren Sapp?
Yeah, it's
Frank Gore still playing.
Yeah, and when you look at historically, Miami's done all that in a smallest window.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can go back to the 70s with them. You can't go back to the 70s with Miami.
Yeah.
This is all from like 83 to now.
Well, Ray Lewis, defensive player of the year.
Right, it's probably got to be Ray.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Ed Reed certainly would be in that conversation.
No, they had a great.
Michael Irving in that conversation.
Didn't they have a great lineman that we might, offensive lineman? Maybe not, that we're missing.
No.
Maybe not.
All right, let's get one call left in here for Brian. Laura in Rockledge checking in. What's up, Laura?
Oh, Mikey, miss.
Hello, Laura.
Baby Jesus, I thought I wasn't going to get in to talk to B-Dubs.
B-West. He blanches when you call him B-Dog. That's not a good thing to do to B-West.
Aw, man, but I've always called him B-Dubs because here's the thing. First of all, B-Dubs, mad love to you. You are the only jersey that I still currently own and wear. The only one.
What number is it, Laura?
36.
Okay, all right. I just didn't want to make you. I want you not be confused because you brought up Dawkins here, and so I didn't make
B Dub.
You said B Dub. What's B Dub? Oh, B Dub Brian Westbrook. Oh, okay.
W, yes. W.
Oh, I got
Dubs
it.
All
right.
A,
okay.
So
okay.
My last name is White. W is Dubs in
okay.
my world.
So okay. That's I got you.
Right. So, and by the way, it's the pink jersey from, I believe, when you did the Powder Puff game supporting breast cancer. Just saying. So I've had that jersey for a while. Here's the thing. Beaties? I don't know what knucklehead you were hanging out with smoking beaties. And you probably never smoked cigarettes, did you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I never smoked cigarettes.
Right.
No.
So that's why you passed the heck out when he shotgunned a beady.
Beady was strong. It took me down.
There's nothing in that thing. Listen, I've smoked beadies.
I shotgunned it. It was the herbs.
The
herbs made me go goofy.
That probably made you pass out.
It was like healing herbs of some sort. Some kind of voodoo herb.
Yeah, they're healing, all right, I'll tell you. There's nothing healing about them. They're gross. I did my smoke with beaties. They're gross. They're like clove cigarettes. They're disgusting, too. I don't know who smokes them. what else did I? Oh, mad shout out to Natalie, by the way. Natalie, I have to thank you very much for a very sweet compliment you paid to me two Fridays ago when I was complaining about the Flyers and inviting Mike to watch the Game 7 on my deck.
Oh, that's right. You were down at the, you were in Avalon.
And I didn't hear it till after the fact because, you know, I was on the phone and somebody was like, you need to listen to that podcast back. Natalie really said something sweet about you, and I very much appreciate that.
Well, listen, Laura, you you have a great weekend. As we got to say sayonara to B West. Another great hour, Brian, and we're charting these picks. We'll see how we both do, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds good. Talk to you.
All right. You got a prediction?
I got to wait till Sunday, to the pregame show. Myself, Devon.
Oh, that's right. You got the pregame show coming up with Devon and, of course, D-Gun. And how that, it went swimmingly last Sunday.
It went very, very well. D-Gun is just a wealth of knowledge. And Devon continues to be solid, just handing out, dishing out dimes here and there. And so it was a great show. Make sure everyone tunes in from 10 to 1 this Sunday. Best pregame show in Philadelphia.
We'll be tuned in, brother. All right, man. We'll talk to you.
Talk, sir.
Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday on Football Friday. Brought to us by Landis Block at your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. That's right. The pregame show kicks things off at 9 o'clock with Devon. And then B West and D-Gun join Devon from 10 to 1 to get you ready for Birds and Rams. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. Your calls wide open for you at 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.